John 10, verses 1 to 18. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thanks again to our musicians for sharing those songs with us this morning. We've got one more to go before we reach the end of our time together. But we are working really hard to put these together. So please, if you are in communication with any of them, then please do thank them and make sure they know that they're loved. Let's pick up the Word of God. If you've got a Bible to hand, you might want to pick it up or get it on your phone. And turn to John chapter 10 with me. I'm actually preaching this message twice today. I've been currently preaching at West Hill Community Church in Aberdeen in a pre-recorded talk, so I'm sharing the same message twice. You might want to check out their service and see which is the better version of this. But it's a great passage, isn't it? And John chapter 10, verse 10, has that great line in it that says, I have come that they may have life, and life in all its fullness, or life in abundance, which is a great verse for us to be thinking about today when it feels a little bit like, well, we're not having life in abundance because we can't do the things that we want to do when we want to do them. We can't travel in the way that we maybe have got used to. We can't do the things that we want to do when we would love to be doing them. For instance, I would love to be going to the cinema. I have a weekly or fortnightly date at the cinema. I go on my own and I enjoy a new movie. I haven't been able to do that. Or to go and walk beside the sea. For many of us, that is a really difficult thing to do. We're getting flashes of life. I mean, this morning we had our daily walk at just after six. And again, we saw the swans flying along towards us this time along the water of Leith, and it was amazing. but there just feels like there's a little bit of a diminishing of life. And I know some people are really struggling with that. I had someone contact me this week quite early one morning, really anxious, kind of a little bit disappointed that I seem to be cooperating with the government and the government's kind of regulations and what they're asking of us. And feeling that, you know, life has become diminished and it's going to remain diminished for a long time and we shouldn't be cooperating with that. And at one level, I understand that. It does feel like we are being limited in what we can do. People have tried to define life, haven't they? They've tried to define it in all sorts of ways. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Travelled, described life in a really simple way. He just said this. He said, life is difficult. And for some of us, pre-COVID-19, that's how we looked upon life. We experienced it like that. We recognised that life was difficult. And we felt that. Maybe the problem for us is that many of us, life hasn't been that difficult and it's been comfortable. And that comfort has been somewhat disrupted. Now, the fact is this, people are passing away because of this illness. You know, we passed 20,000 people having died, lost their lives because of it. And every life is a tragedy. There are families that are grieving. There are families who have not been able to sit with their loved ones as their life has come to an end. So there are many, many people who are feeling that their life has been terribly diminished because someone they love is no longer here to be with them. And that we need to pray and we need to be as supportive as we can in the face of that. We know that there are stealers of life. There are things that come along and steal life away from us. We're experiencing one right now in the form of this illness. And maybe there are other things that come in and add to that. The cause is there, it's evident, but there are things that come along and steal life from us again. So, for example, right now, maybe you're feeling that life is a bit of a drudgery. You know, there's the drudgery of existence, the same thing every day. It's really, really difficult to get through it. There's a boring monotony of routine to the stuff that you do. Those of us who are still working, maybe it's not quite so bad, but every day seems to be a little bit the same. Some of us are really worried about what the future holds. Maybe you've lost your job. A friend of mine lost her job on Tuesday. And that's really devastating. They didn't see it coming. They didn't expect it. They weren't offered furlough. It's just gone. And that's really hard. Life has been affected in a major way by what has happened. Life has been stolen in some way. And Jesus kind of knows what that is like when people are having their life denied them because of circumstances. Jesus, in the passage in John chapter 10 that Amanda read for us earlier, maybe looked at a familiar scene of shepherds on a hillside keeping watch over the sheep. And he says this, he says, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. The job of the shepherd was to lead, was to protect, was to feed the sheep. But unfortunately, just like today, there are people who would come and steal. There were thieves and robbers. And in Jesus' day, when he was on earth, there were those who would come and steal the sheep who weren't just used for food. They were used for milk. They were used for wool and so on. They were the livelihood, the day-to-day livelihood of people. Shepherds lived close with their sheep. They knew them well and they cared for them, and the sheep followed their voice. They recognised the voice of the shepherd. I love that story of the theology professor teaching his students about how shepherds operate in the Middle East. He describes the shepherds are people who lead their sheep. It's not like shepherds here in the West who have sheepdogs and drive the sheep from behind to get them where they want to go. The shepherds lead their sheep and they listen to their voice and they follow them. So the students all picked this up, and it was great until they went on a field trip to the Middle East, and they're on a bus and the bus is blocked, can't get moving because there's a flock of sheep in front. And the flock is moving, but behind the flock is a man with a stick beating the sheep to get the sheep where they need to go. And the students are all going, as students are wont to do, and the students all react and say, you know, you told us this, professor, that didn't happen. So this professor gets off the bus and goes down and talks to the man who's driving the sheep, and then comes back on to the bus and he says, it's okay, that wasn't the shepherd, that was the butcher driving the sheep to market. Now, the shepherds had a great responsibility, and Jesus goes on to kind of explain really what it was that they were doing. They were the guards, the leaders, they watched over the sheep. They were the gate. When the sheep were in the sheepfold, they lay across the gate, the gap between the wall, so that nothing could come in and get to the sheep without passing the shepherd. That's why Jesus can say in this passage that he is the gate for the sheep. He is the door for the sheep. In verse 7, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And what we get here is this great picture of Jesus being the carer, the shepherd who looks after the flock. He's concerned for them. He wants the best for them. And there are many things in life that would come and try and steal life from us. As I say, we are experiencing that right now. Where do we go to find life only to discover despair? One of the things that we struggle with right now is maybe that we don't get to have as much pleasure as we would like to be having. We live for pleasure, don't we, in our culture, in our society. We want to go on that cruise that was booked up, or we want to have luxury when we retire, or we have fantasies of what we could be doing and what life could be like. Many people have done these things, yet they still remain empty. They don't necessarily fulfill. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8 says this. It says, the eye is not satisfied by seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. We are creatures who just long to see stuff and do stuff and to hear stuff and to have lives of pleasure. Or maybe we pursue performance, you know, being the best that we can be. We work really hard. And one of the problems now is that we can't maybe work as hard as we once did, and we're having to slow down a little bit. A myth has circulated for years that says success produces life, getting to the top of the tree, performing really, really well. Scripture teaches us this, though. Human beings are always working, but are never satisfied, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 8. So we can work and we can work and we're never satisfied. We live for our work. It's what keeps us occupied. And maybe right now we're not working quite so much. Maybe there's a time to experience the life of God where we're spending more time with him, listening to him, reading his words, and drawing close to him and refocusing our energy so that we don't just pursue performance, you know, and doing stuff and occupying ourselves. Or how about possessions? Apparently, shops are in trouble. We know this. Shops are in trouble because we can't go out and acquire stuff that we once would have done. And we can chase after stuff, but it doesn't necessarily give us life. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 says this, the one who loves money is never satisfied with money. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile. You know, you can have lots and lots of money, but never be content with what you have. It's not to say having money is a bad thing. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, as the Bible tells us. So it's not necessarily a bad thing that we have money, but we need to be careful. It won't necessarily bring contentment. So there are lots of things that might come and steal life from us. Another one is pursuits. You know, the things that we do, the things that we are occupy our time with. We think if we stay busy all the time, that pace of life remains an intense level, that we'll discover life. And if you're a kind of Tigger character, jumping around all the time and doing stuff, this will be a really difficult time for you. And many people who keep active and busy and over and work hard, they become ill through stress and ulcers and heart attacks and all those kind of things. So there are thieves that will come and steal life from us. And Jesus tells us this in John chapter 10. He's the gate, but he's also the source of life. John chapter 10, verse 10. He talked a lot about these kind of things to Jesus. He said this, John chapter 11, the next chapter, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Or later on in John chapter 14, he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6 of chapter 14. But the most powerful statement he makes, I think, is found here in John 10, verse 10. A thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance or fullness. That's his desire for us. The I there that he uses, I have come, is an emphatic I, it's me, meaning that life is found in no other but him. Life is entered by no other than Jesus himself. It's an amazing thing. I am the door or the gate of the sheep. He cares for us and he protects us. He means that the fold has only one entrance. It is through him. Life has one source. Spiritual nourishment is obtained one way. Heaven can only be entered through one entrance. And the single means of access to all of that life is Jesus. So in the midst of all that we're facing right now, he gives us life. He gives us the life, the spiritual life that we were born to enter into. So maybe this is a time when we reconsider our priorities. We don't chase after pursuits or pleasure or property, possessions, but we chase after Jesus. You see, the picture in verse 10 is of a superabundance of life. We are built to be in a relationship with him. The word that's used there for abundance can be translated as fullness or even overflowing. Have it in abundance. It means to have a superabundance of a thing. You know, a few weeks ago we were worried about having enough toilet roll. And I don't know if you heard that story from Australia, the guy who went out and bought something like £50,000 worth of toilet roll and hand sanitizer. And then when he realized he couldn't sell it on eBay, he went back to the shop to try and get them to take it back. And they said, no, we're not taking it back. So he now has a superabundance of toilet roll and hand sanitizer. And is stuck with it, really. So he'll have it for the rest of his life. And there's a kind of net. We can be greedy about stuff, can't we? We can be greedy and we can be selfish. But God says to us, I want you to have a superabundance of life as you walk with me and as you know me. It is an amazing promise. So here's the thing. Maybe today, I don't know what the rest of your day looks like. We're finding that after doing this on a Sunday morning, it's really quite tiring. So we'll have a restful day for the rest of the day, I hope. But I hope that we'll also take time to consider just how much we're loved and to receive from the Lord himself the life that he has for us. And in this time when there is such trouble and there is much pain in the world, maybe we get the opportunity to point people to the life of God, the life of Christ. Someone sent me a text. Mark, who did the prayers for us, sent us a text this morning. I read it briefly just before the service to say he was talking to someone at a bus stop and he gave him a praying booklet to try and just share a little bit of the gospel with them and a little bit of encouragement and a little bit of hope with them. That's all we can do at the moment. It's, you know, sharing the gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find some bread. And all we're doing is sharing with people a little bit of the life that the Lord has given to us and that he wants others to share. When we think of Jesus, we think of him hanging on the cross, dying for my sin, dying for the sin of the world, all the suffering that's going on right now. The Lord knows about that because he has gone through it himself. He went to the cross. He died on the cross and suffered a death so that death would be defeated and rose again so that we might have life and life in all its fullness. So that's what we remember today. May God help us and encourage us in that. As we consider these things, may God bless you as you consider God's word this morning.